Hello, my name is Brenna McMahon, and I am a second-year graduate student studying speech-language pathology at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Welcome to my poster presentation titled Experiences of SLPs Serving Clients Who Engage in Challenging Behaviors. I completed this research project with my advisor, Dr. Jolene Hippa-Martin, an associate professor and speech-language pathologist at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Did you know that more than 85% of SLPs in educational settings report serving students who exhibit language deficits, and learners who experience these deficits exhibit higher rates of challenging behaviors? According to several sources like ASHA 2018, Chow and Colleagues 2020, Holland and Colleagues 2014, and Searchlight and Colleagues 2023, if a child does not have the ability to communicate in an effective and efficient way, that child is more likely to use behaviors to avoid what they don't want and to access what they do want. Chow and Webby 2018 and Reed and Colleagues 2004 pointed out that the goal of interventionists working with these children is to improve their communication, their social and academic success, and enhance the children's quality of life. However, Lowe 2021 and Searchlight 2023 highlight reports that many SLPs feel poorly prepared to prevent and manage challenging behaviors emitted by the students they serve. Even worse, research from Tiger and Colleagues 2008, Woo and Colleagues 2022, as well as anecdotal evidence, suggests that children who demonstrate communication delays and emit challenging behaviors may be turned away from SLP services until their behavior improves, which may suggest a lack of understanding regarding the important role that SLPs play in reducing challenging behaviors by improving a child's communication abilities. The fact that there is correlation between language deficits and behavioral challenges shows that it is important that SLPs have training to manage a range of challenging behaviors that may appear during sessions. Researchers Chow and Wallace in 2021 documented that behavior management training courses were limited and generally not required for SLP undergraduate and graduate programs. About 93% of undergraduate and 91% of graduate programs reported not offering courses in behavior management. The same study suggested that SLPs recognize positive behavior support training as being necessary to provide effective speech services, especially in the school setting. This highlights the need for more behavior management education and overall awareness on this topic amongst SLPs. Many researchers, including Chow and Wallace 2021 and Searchlight and Colleagues 2023, have suggested that continued research on SLPs and behavior management is needed. As you can see at the top of column 1 of my poster, the purpose of the study was to examine SLPs' experiences, preparedness, and utilization of evidence-based strategies for managing and providing treatment to individuals who exhibit challenging behaviors. To answer this question, I conducted a survey that was sent to 251 Minnesota school districts that employed speech-language pathologists, as well as to 56 Minnesota speech-language pathology private clinics. If an email address for an SLP was not available on the school district or clinic website, I identified the email of the most appropriate department, such as special education, the district email, and business email if possible. Bounce back emails received required locating a new email address, if possible. Next, the survey was also sent to Minnesota Speech Language Hearing Association, and the MNCHA office distributed the survey to members via email. To utilize snowball sampling, SLP recipients were invited to forward the survey to other SLPs. Next, I'll review the results. Starting in the center column, figure 1 displays that 363 SLPs participated in this survey with a completion rate of 83%, while 17% did not complete the survey entirely. Figure 2, to the right of figure 1, displays participants' previous and current work settings. In the survey, SLPs were given the opportunity to select more than one work setting option. Results showed that 34% of SLPs have worked or are currently working in a public elementary school setting with K-12, middle and secondary public schools, comprising of 27% of the settings. As such, the majority of SLPs who completed the survey were employed in public school settings. Looking at the key to the right of this pie chart includes other work settings that have had a range of percentages from 4 to less than 1. Even though the percentages of SLPs in these work settings is smaller, it still represents that SLPs work in a variety of settings and experience forms of challenging behaviors throughout the different settings. Figure 3 on the left depicts the education level of the SLP participants. As you can see, 95% of SLPs taking the survey receive their master's degree, while 2% have their master's degree plus additional credits. The remaining 3% of participants received a variety of degrees, such as Doctor of Philosophy and Doctor in Speech-Language Pathology, or lower degrees, such as 4-year plus additional credits. To the right, figure 4 represents gender of the participants, with most of the SLPs being women, only 2% were male, and 2% preferred not to say. In the center column, middle to bottom of the column, are figures that represent experiences of SLP respondents with challenging behaviors during their workday. Starting with figure 5, the left chart shows 97% of SLPs experienced off-task and task refusal behaviors, while more than half experienced injury to self or others, destroying items, and session refusal. Other behaviors included eloping, swearing, removing clothing, and spitting. Only one SLP respondent stated that they have not experienced challenging behaviors. In general, this figure demonstrates that these SLPs experienced a variety of challenging behaviors while serving their students. To the right, figure 6 shows that nearly 40% of participants experienced challenging behaviors more than 4 times each week, and only 6% experienced challenging behaviors less than once per month. Other responses indicated perspectives that work settings impact the frequency of challenging behaviors experienced. For example, a respondent answered that in the birth to three setting, challenging behaviors are not experienced as often compared to when they worked in elementary school, in which challenging behaviors were experienced 4 or more days a week. Also, some respondents noted that big behaviors like aggression do not occur as frequently as off-task behaviors. The bottom figure, figure 7, goes more in depth about the motivation or reason as to why the challenging behaviors were occurring when the participants were working with their students. The most frequent motivator leading to challenging behaviors was access to preferred items, then sensory challenges, social attention, and wanting a break. An infrequent motivator indicated was the child not comprehending the SLPs or school's expectations. This was interesting to see in the data, being the correlation between challenging behaviors and language deficits is high, which could ultimately impact comprehension in general. Other responses indicated that SLPs experience a variety of motivators leading to challenging behaviors. Moving to the last or right-hand column, figure 8 and 9 represent results of the preparedness of SLP participants in managing and working with children who demonstrated challenging behaviors. Starting with figure 8, participants were asked to agree or disagree with statements. About 98% of participants agreed with the statement, SLP education programs should provide more preparation in managing challenging behaviors. About 90% of participants disagreed with the statement, by the time I graduated, my SLP education had prepared me to successfully manage challenging behaviors. And 85% disagreed with the statement, I felt confident in managing challenging behaviors at the time I graduated. Also, it is important to acknowledge that about 75% of SLPs indicated a diminished job satisfaction with increased challenging behaviors. These highest respondent percentages to the agreed and disagreed statements highlight SLPs' perspectives as if they did not receive adequate training and education for managing their students' challenging behaviors before entering the profession, which may lead to diminished job satisfaction. Figure 9 represents the preparedness of participants through the education or training they have received regarding challenging behaviors and management of the behaviors. About 6% of respondents received training or education during their SLP graduate program, with one respondent noting that they completed a summer course during graduate school, and 5% of respondents reported receiving no education or training at all on the management of challenging behaviors. In total, about 89% of the respondents have received training or education after graduating and once entered into the work field. Training from employers and continuing education were the two highest forms of education or training received regarding challenging behaviors, while others consisted of gaining training from coworkers, experience, training that was set out on their own, and from being a parent. Lastly, in the middle of the right-hand column, figure 10 represents respondents' confidence levels using a variety of strategies to manage challenging behaviors. Respondents demonstrated high confidence in identifying the function of challenging behavior, preventing escalation, teaching alternative behavior, teaching replacement behavior, and teaching coping skills to the students exhibiting challenging behaviors. Half of the participants indicated a low confidence level in determining efficiency of the challenging behavior, and about 50% of participants indicated low confidence to provide replacement and management instruction to other team members or coworkers. The data collected demonstrates that many SLP respondents experience a variety of challenging behaviors with a variety of motivators leading to the challenging behaviors during their workday. It was interesting to see that only half of the SLPs reported low confidence in determining the efficiency of challenging behavior, but most indicated a high confidence level in teaching the learner alternative and replacement behaviors. This seems a bit counterintuitive because teaching alternative and replacement behaviors needs to be done systematically and through using a more efficient manner of communication. If SLPs tend to lack confidence in determining the efficiency of the challenging behavior, it would be hard to confidently identify and teach more efficient behavior that will generalize and diminish the challenging behavior. A primary limitation of this research is that it only surveyed SLPs employed in Minnesota with a focus on seeking responses mostly from educational settings. Also, this survey did not analyze in depth the different strategies that SLPs and SOPAs are learning and already implementing while serving clients demonstrating challenging behaviors. The lack of in-depth questions might limit information on what is most effective for increased confidence, as well as relevancy to the profession of communication expertise. It is suggested in future research to break down the information from this survey to create more succinct and in-depth research on specific concepts such as how SLPs determine replacement and alternative behaviors and how to determine the efficiency of the challenging behavior exhibited. Gaining this information would allow for deeper insights into the effectiveness of the replacement and alternative behaviors provided to clients and the necessity of more education on how to diminish challenging behaviors. It is also recommended to analyze the difference in teaching clients compared to instructing team members or coworkers, and whether SLPs have enough knowledge on topics to teach team members or coworkers. Another recommendation is to research if there are specific training or education opportunities that lead to greater confidence or knowledge on challenging behaviors that are also relevant and accessible to SLPs. With this, it would be beneficial to gather information on whether SLPs find specific trainings effective. Also, it would be beneficial to research how to implement these trainings into degree programs, what trainings would be accessible, and how would they be incorporated. Lastly, it is recommended to include research regarding SLPs and SLPs' perspectives of their role to support the decreased challenging behaviors through implementation of communication strategies, and what communication tactics seem to have the greatest benefits. This topic is important to continue researching and discussing in the field of speech-language pathology, especially with reports of SLPs feeling as if they have inadequate training, there's increasing experiences of challenging behaviors, and the change of expectations that SLPs have with aiding in managing challenging behaviors. Thank you for listening to my presentation. If you have any questions or comments about this research survey, please email the corresponding author at jhm@d.umn.edu. Thank you.